new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio. Get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model. Thank you for joining us. This is a Sharp College Football podcast, and we are week six already in Pac-12 play. And I feel like this last week was like a show us yourselves, like, you know, where it's the Scooby-Doo, you know, monster that pulls off the mask and it ends up being, you know, the cocktail waitress from, you know, the bar or something. Like, it was a really fascinating week of Pac-12 football. We're going to go through all the games that were played. We're going to cover all the games that are coming up. Our apologies for the tardiness of this podcast. I just had a son. Our fourth child is here, healthy. Everybody's great. But I was in the hospital for like 3 or 4 days. So we're back. And our dedication to you is to cover this conference like the fury of a thousand suns. And to do that with me is Mr. Rob Barron from Sharp College Football. How are you, sir?
I'm really good. I mean, I didn't do anything other than like put out FCS Beta Rank this week. So that's like small potatoes.
Which is awesome, though. That's a big deal, right? Like, is this one of I could be wrong, but are there a lot of advanced metric models out there? It sounds like a lead-in question, but I like legitimately don't know that cover FCS.
So here, like, you will see, like, Bill Connolly does an SP Plus version for FCS, but it's like a pseudo SP Plus, and it relies. Although he just changed around after SP Plus kind of went in the tank a little bit at the end of last season, he did change around his FBS model to be more like his FCS model. But this is the exact, like, what I'm really happiest about here is it's not pseudo Beta Rank. It is the exact same data with the exact same quality that we get on FBS games. I get that same level of data for every FCS game.
That's awesome.
And I have, like, if you go to the site now, you will notice it's changed. There is now a drop down for FCS stats. And nearly the only report I think I don't have up for it that's people really use often is like that program report, because I only have 1 year of data. There's no point in showing you a bunch of like time series graphs with like 1 year of data. But it's great. I'm really pumped to get it out. And also this week is like Beta Rank has no more projections in it. It's all in season data, which it can be a little wild, but like I would say in particular, if we're getting teams like Duke and Kansas and Colorado more in the neighborhood that they actually are, getting those projections out was helpful.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. How dare my son be born on Beta Rank Day, by the way. But like, I think it's fascinating. So if you've been listening to the show, and our numbers are pretty solid, go to sharpcollegefootball.com, take a look around, because now we're tossing out the projection model data, like Rob mentioned, and it's fascinating to see. Like, I immediately went to the site, and I'm like, where's Texas A&M? That was the first thing.
A&M is a team that, like, they've recruited so well. They've been traditionally, you know, not bad. And they've been god awful this season. And they sit at 69, which is nice, but not good.
No, not good at all. you know, looking at the Pac-12, we should talk through this to start as we go into these games. Any surprises in the Pac-12 ratings?
Yeah, I mean, so right now there is some volatility in here still. One is Utah has done their traditional slow start. So this isn't our first rodeo with this. We were kind of hoping the Utes wouldn't pull that this season, but instead they did lose to what looks like an okay Florida team to start out the year. So they're like, Utah comes in like ranked at number 30. And I think that there's, you know, like there's room for them to improve still, right? Like, and like after Florida, we haven't seen them play a really good team yet.
We'll find out what they are this week.
Yeah. Well, and then like the other one is that I would say is like a bit surprising where they are is Oregon. They sit at number 42. The reason for that is two things. One is they themselves have been kind of up and down.
Yeah.
Like they went out and just got walloped by Georgia. and then they just like stuck it to BYU. They played pretty close with an okay you know, like a good, I mean, Washington State sits at 25 right now. Like, let's call it a good Washington State team. But yeah, I mean, like, if I think if you look at this Oregon squad, right, like they're definitely a team that, you know, I think that they can beat this projection. Like, their main problem holding them right back now is like their defense is not very good. But the offense is actually like a top 20 offense from what we've seen so far. Everybody else, I think, is in the range that you would expect from seeing them play. I would say like USC is on the fringe of the top 10. Oregon State has fallen pretty precipitously. Like they said, it's 68 overall. They haven't played that well, you know, other than the one game against USC, they've played toe to toe with a bunch of group of five teams, and their offense is not grading out very well at all right now. And that's really been their downfall, is that they really have not had a really good offensive game in the way that maybe we were expecting. I mean, and I think what really hurts their offensive grade, to be honest, is that like USC's defense kind of sucks and they had a really bad game against USC.
That's true.
But like, talking about surprise, like the surprise of the conference right now, as far as like versus last year and versus like, I think what a lot, I mean, there's two of them, I think we should call it. One is Washington's offense. It's at number 13 overall. That's really good. And not at all where we were expecting. Now, their defense, as we saw against UCLA, Arizona sits at 33 on offense. You know, and like now their defense looks to have regressed a bit. But yeah, I mean, like it's funny because like right now at the bottom of the conference, it's who you'd expect. It's Stanford and then Arizona State and then Colorado. And Colorado is sort of on like epically bad watch. Like, can they catch 2021 Duke is the worst Power Five team we've graded.
Lord Almighty. I mean, we should mention, I think we talked about Herm being fired last week, but I don't think we did the Carl Durrell bit.
No, we haven't covered Carl. Because he got fired after this last game.
I assume I forgot that they were on a bye. And so that, I mean, that makes sense. I tweeted at like the AD should be fired on the spot for giving him an extension. That was ridiculous.
Right. That was the real problem. It's not that, like, I mean, they were in a total spot when they hired Durrell, right? Like, it was super late. Mel Tucker, you know, like, Michigan State basically dumped a bunch of money on him and said, like, Colorado, this is your problem now.
Yeah.
And so, like, hiring Durrell at that time, like, it was, I mean, there was definitely some level of it that was still a little inexplicable, but, like, I get it. You're not in the best position. So, you know, you got to make lemonade here. But the fact that they gave him an extension then based on like that wonky 2020 data was totally inexcusable.
It was fun. And I enjoyed that season. I really liked how he kept the team together in a weird year, but you can't extend somebody like that. Like that doesn't make sense. The other thing,
no one was coming to hire Carl Durrell from you.
Absolutely.
Based on that. Yeah. No one.
And like the last thing I'll mention on that, because you know we'll figure out who the candidates are and that stuff will pop up. But I'm just gonna call out a couple of beat writers here for really just throwing a lot of stats at me about Carl Durrell at UCLA. Well, he made five bowl games and if you look at the thing, I saw that was. All that was garbage, and this was a stupid hire. And we said that at the beginning, and I appreciated what he did that one year in the COVID year. But, like, I mean, I found it strange that there was a number of Colorado writers that were like, no, this is, like, legitimately, like, he did an okay job at UCLA. Like, I followed UCLA like a boss. I wanted that guy out. And the fact that, like, it just kind of shows you that you can dig up any numbers to make your case, you know, like, to make a case, not the case, but to make a case for what you want.
I mean, I think it's like, I honestly think it's kind of funny too, because I think that beat writers, some of them are from an older generation when there were fewer bowl games, and so they're like. Like in their head, they're like, man, going to a bowl, right? Like forgetting, of course, that like if you finish 500, you get to go to a bowl. It's like when like people would say like, oh, man, like Rich Rod, like look at how many bowls he's gone to. And I'm like, man, like he's got the easiest non-conference in the Pac-12, and like everybody goes to a bowl. Like he's winning three games a year in the Pac-12. Let's not build a statue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll keep an eye on what's going on there, but let's just dive into these games because I thought it was a fascinating week. And there's lots of really important games that are coming up this week that are really going to show who these teams are. And let's do it right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
William Shatner?
You want it?
Pac-12 Gambling Lines?
You got it.
Nice.
You want it? Baby, just bust a move.
Okay.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We're talking Pac-12 football. And last week, just a fascinating slate of games. And some hipster games, Rob. Some hipster games like Oregon State at Utah. You had your Cal Washington State, if you're interested in that. You know, Stanford Oregon, I didn't think it was like a real hipster game, but you never know, right? Like, you know, Oregon's defense, I don't think is that good. So the idea right. was, well, would Stanford do anything? The answer is no. The answer is no. I mean, I took Oregon in that one. I couldn't trust it. And I texted you. It was so funny because I texted you about that game. I'm like, well, who am I kidding? I'm going to take Stanford. And then I was like looking at the spreadsheet and I just looked at myself in the mirror. And I just
I cannot do this to myself.
I'm like, who have I become? Who have I become if I make this decision? And of course, Oregon was able to cover that game. Where do you want to start? There's a lot of directions we can go here.
Well, I mean, should we do the thing? Like, I feel like what we used to do was like we would pick a game and then cover. Like, so if we did Utah UCLA this week, we would do Utah's game last week and UCLA's game last week.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
So, I mean, that's the big fun game this week. I mean, we're sort of like leading with the headline, but it's also the first game on the schedule. So, and it's got the 3:30 p.m. Fox treatment. Like the first time
love it.
I feel like this year, like the Pac-12 is actually getting a decent time slot.
I'm so excited about this. And I want to give a lot of props to our friends at the What's Brewing podcast. Because look, every once in a while you get some crabby listener that like starts yelling at you about their team or whatever. And What's Brewing, like I've been wrong on UCLA for 2 years. And look, I have come to terms with this. And they've always been so nice about it. They're just like, hey, didn't Jake Bobo have a good game? You know, they're not calling me names, they're not calling me dumb. Like, you know, it's just more just a good hearted and look.
I mean,
guys,
to be fair, I think I made a lot of fun of Bobo because I saw him at Duke and I was like, what? But Jake Bobo doesn't line up as in theory as a tight end, but he runs like all the routes that the tight ends run in the middle of the field. You're just like, oh, I guess you can work for that.
Yeah. This game was fascinating. Like, you know, UCLA 40, Washington 32, right? Friday night game, not a lot of games on. A lot of people watch this, and the score isn't indicative of the game, right?
The like, level of whooping.
Yeah. Washington scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, like, and
right,
and I don't know. It's possible that I always thought that the offense was going to be good, right? Like I think we've talked about this. The progression of DTR over the course of 4 years has been really fun,
right?
And I want to like just throw eggs at Brian Kelly's house, or not Brian Kelly at Chip Kelly's house, for trying to look for Dylan Gabriel or somebody else to come in and take that spot. Because I really thought DTR has become... I was always like hesitant to give him like a three letter nickname. I'm like, let's make sure he doesn't fumble the ball 10 yards behind him before we start doing that.
Yeah.
And he's really come into his own. The thing that was really fascinating about this game was A, the ability of DTR to throw the ball through the air. I don't think that Washington's secondary is as good as it's been in the past, but they brought in some interesting pieces. Maybe there was some institutional knowledge there. And it didn't matter. Like, UCLA was able to take care of business, and this was a very prolific offense from Washington, and it didn't matter. Like, Rob, like, are we wrong on the Chip Kelly hire, the defensive coordinator? What are we missing here? Because I think UCLA is pretty good.
UCLA is pretty good. And look, like, they made some progress under Azzanaro last season. Like, they didn't turn into a good Power 5 defense, but they were, like, in the 50s-ish, right? Like, that's still a bad Power 5 defense, but it significantly improved over where they'd been. They're currently sitting at 44 right now. Now, what you can do against this UCLA defense is you can drive on them. They are really struggling comparatively with drive efficiency and like finding ways to get off the field, but they do a pretty good job. They're number 7 at containing explosive drives, and they seem to be selling out more for like stopping big plays. They're definitely better against the run than they are against the pass. They're at 65 in effective pass. So, like, some of the things that we talked about with like, oh man, like I wouldn't rely on a ZZ Hearn if I were you, like, are true. Mm-hmm. But the things, I mean, like, I think that the transfers that they've had on the defensive line, the run defense remains largely solid. And look, like, the offense right now sits at 27. I think this is, again, another opportunity for them to, like, potentially move up. They've really relied on big plays. Like, they're number 17 in explosive drives, and they carved up Washington. But there's no real run-pass split for them. I feel like they've been able to evolve, as you talked about, DTR as a passer. It was funny because, like, on that broadcast – The color guy was like talking to, they talked to some Washington coaches or some guys in the Washington secondary, and they were like talking shit about DTR. And they're like, oh yeah, he's a one read QB, right? And
that's stupid. That's not right.
I know. And then as soon as they said that on the broadcast, like, DTR completes his like next 11 straight passes, just like carving up Washington. Like, I know he didn't hear it, but it was as if he did, and he was like, "Oh, really?"
Oh, that's amazing. This was a really big win for UCLA. And look, if you're a Washington fan, and I like, this was a game where I took Washington, and I was more confident in Washington because I just didn't trust the UCLA defense. If you're a Washington fan, like, look, this team isn't fully formed yet, and this in retrospect, this game makes sense. You're on the road, you know, UCLA gets the extra day of preparation. It's, you know, they have a good offense, and like, as long as UCLA can kind of hold down the fort on the defensive side, which they did, I mean, I think you brush this one off, and I'm still bullish on Washington this year, and I think they're going to have a really solid year. But I mean, like, you know, moving into this Utah game, because this is a huge game for UCLA.
Well, here's the thing about Washington right now, though, is like, their defense is at 81 overall. They're at 109 on effective pass.
Oh, like, that's Michigan's, gross.
I know. Like, they're really bad defending the pass, and they've got it. Like, they have a lot to clean up, because if you like look at some of like the, you know, like on the rest of their schedule, I mean, like, you don't want, and this, like, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, you don't want to face Arizona's wide receivers with the secondary, right?
No,
like,
no.
Washington State, when we get to cover that game, like, Cam Ward is no longer a one-read QB. He's starting to figure it out more. He's starting to trust throwing into the middle of the field more. We saw that this week. Like, this secondary is going to have to clean it up.
And I don't, like, that was our criticism at the beginning of the year with DeBoer's hires, where it's like, you're going to Washington and you're bringing your defensive coordinators from Fresno State with you. They better be damn well good. And I don't know if that's the case.
Well, and there was a rumor that he had wanted to hire Brian Ward, who ended up going to Wazoo.
Oh.
and that he had actually not wanted to bring his Fresno DC with them, that he had wanted to grab Brian Ward from Nevada, who did a pretty good job. And I think has a history with Dickert before from at Wyoming.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, if you take a look at UCLA's matchup against Utah, I mean, look, like I was really bummed about this game, right? Utah beat Oregon State 42-16. The problem here was I couldn't take that much away from this game other than like Clark is just awesome. Like, you know, their quarter is quite good, but there was two pick sixes in this game. Chance Nolan landed on his neck and there was just, and like, again, Utah did what it needed. This is no knock on Utah. This is more a bummer for me because I really wanted to see both teams at their peak play each other because that game was interesting, but that didn't happen. And so Utah basically took control of this game and they're like, well, bye. You know, as they went through.
Right.
I was so bummed about
that. But truthfully, to your point, like Oregon State played well offensively.
They moved the ball.
Right. And listen, like we should be very clear here. We're like, yards are not points.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, mostly how are you going to get to points unless you're going to conjure them magically out of thin air with like, you know, pick sixes and you know, like you're going to have to move the ball. So usually if you don't do stupid things, moving the ball does eventually translate into points. Now you're going to have games in the season like this one where you're Oregon State and you finish -4 on turnovers on the road. Yeah. That's not going to go well. But to your point, like this game, the final score is not reflective of this. You know, really all that reflective. And that's part of what's like hurting Utah a bit in advanced stats right now is like I've had people come out like Pac-12 watchers are a lot higher on the Utes. And I'm like that game was not as dominant as it looked.
And to your point also, there was like 3 trick plays in this game that got Oregon into the end zone or very close to the end zone. Now I hear your point, like where Oregon State was moving the ball down the field to get to, but there were multiple plays here and you could totally, I watched this whole game. But if you look at the box score, you can see it. And, you know, sometimes you don't see that. You have the Jack Coletto stupid play. You have the Tyjon Lindsey like ended up throwing a pass for 27 yards. Like there was flea flickers and reverses and it just seemed, it was interesting. Cause I was about to like tweet out like a Houdini tweet about Jonathan Smith and then Oregon threw its second pick six. They're like, oh no, can't do that.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is you look at this result and you just don't know what would have happened if both of these teams were playing at their peak. But that's what Utah does. Utah doesn't do the things that Oregon State did in this game. And here they are. They have a UCLA team. And I'm worried about this game if I'm a Ute fan, because DTR, like what have we talked about Utah for the last couple of years? A running quarterback, and by the way, a running quarterback who can throw the ball, that's a problem for Utah. And if Oregon State can move the ball against Utah, UCLA can move the ball against Utah.
I mean, let's be frank, like Florida's quarterback isn't that great. And he had a game.
Yeah.
Remember when it was like, oh, here's his, like, he's Heisman. A Heisman candidate. Week one Heisman. And then they go out and like almost lose to like South Florida at home, right? And you know, it's just not, this Utah team right now, their defense is at 52 in beta rank. They haven't played a really good offense yet. Like Florida doesn't even have a really good offense. They've had San Diego State, they've had Oregon State, and ASU. So like much like Washington, like I thought we'd really know more about Utah at this point than I feel like we do, much like with Washington and UCLA, where we felt like we're not really gonna know anything until they play each other. Like I feel like we ended up here with Utah too. And it's not like, to be clear, it's not Utah's fault that everybody on their schedule sort of fell apart.
you know?
And they could, like, part of what would really help them in advanced stats, which 100% has not happened, is if their opponents would actually like play well against anyone else, because that hasn't happened yet for them at all. I mean, San Diego State's completely falling apart. They already fired their offensive coordinator. They're averaging less than 4 yards an attempt throwing the football.
Oh my gosh, that's just awful.
Right. You know, like ASU has fired their coach and looks like a total disaster. Right. Florida has suddenly been punched in the mouth several times and hasn't played as well as they did against Utah at any point. And Oregon State, like, has like we've talked about, has basically been like neck and neck with a couple of, you know, group of five teams, and one of which also fired their offensive coordinator in Boise. And, you know, like nobody's really played like so like Utah could be better than we think. And I think likely is. But we just haven't seen them. We haven't seen them against a decent opponent. We're going to now, particularly this defense. This is going to be the best offense they've faced.
Yeah, and an offense that just plays right into their weakness. I am really worried about this game. So this game got up to as high as 4.5. Utah was given 4.5 to UCLA. And I went to go grab it, and then like my son was born. so I didn't get the number. But here's the problem, though. It's I feel as if I'm turning my back on what this Utah team likely is in favor of one game that I saw UCLA win. And like, our friends,
I feel like, did we do that with Washington? Like when they whipped Michigan State?
Yeah, that's true. And like for the UCLA fans, I would like to atone for my sins on just being anti UCLA. This is a good team. I do think that Utah is a better team. And I think that Utah will get up for this game. When it was 4.5, I think I want to take UCLA so bad because I do think the fundamentals of this game favor UCLA. It's at home. It's going to be close. They're going to be able to score. I'm going to give Utah one more week. And
so I'm taking UCLA.
Okay.
Here's why. So right now, Utah is struggling to throw the football. Keep these out, you know, for the rest of the season. They're at 29 in effective rush. UCLA's defense, what did we say? Like, yeah, you can't rely on Azeezy Hearn, called that one. But like, what do you have to have him do against Utah? He'll be fine, right? Like, you could put him on an island against Utah's wide receivers. It's the UCLA's at 30 in effective rush on defense. And I think that UCLA, they've done a good job containing big plays. They're going to make the Utes try to have to sustain drives and go the length of the field. I think this could be like a real dogfight of a contest between these teams for sure. But like there's this Utah defense, like they've been a little more susceptible to big plays. They're not forcing as many three and outs and turnovers as you'd like. I mean, I say that as like, it's mostly three and outs. They just got a bunch of turnovers against Oregon State, obviously, but like they're at 80 in negative drives overall. Like I think DTR is just incredibly comfortable in this offense. I think they're still able to run the ball really well, but I think they can rely on DTR more if they have to. I'm not sold on what this Utah defense has been able to put up so far, because like they've played some bad offenses, but they haven't shut them down any more than anyone else has.
Yeah. So I'm 55% against the spread. I went 4-2 last week.
You're probably doing better than me. I don't think I did that great last week.
I do well every year. I was in the shadow of Max Meyer, who was like going 64% or whatever he did against the spread is like ungodly. And to do it in a way with like, it wasn't luck. It was him being like picking his spots. So that just really amazing. I've always been above like 54%, but I think like I'm going to take Utah in this game. And this is kind of similar to the game with Colorado where it's like, I know what I'm doing. I got to stick with my guns one more week because I don't want to, I don't, I think Utah is a more physical, a stronger team than UCLA, but I completely understand what you're taking. And like, when that line got to 4.5, and I know like 1.5 points after 3 isn't that much, but it was just like the principle of the matter. I get it. I totally understand. And that hook bothers me too, right? Cause this could be a 3-point game and then I'm on the line for, you know, for that.
I struggle to see this as like almost like a 6-point game on a neutral field.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, like, I think the Murphy, like, I mean, like, UCLA's revamped defensive line, and like, they've, like, even before they get the new DC in, they've been pretty good stopping the run. I think this one could be a dogfight.
I'm so excited, and I'm so glad it's at 3:30 and people are going to watch it because it deserves to be on television. This is a really good game.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about Washington already, so we might as well talk about their game coming up against Arizona State. I took the 29 points because I just, or 26 or whatever it was. I felt like USC was going to play with its food, and it kind of did. But, and our friend Ralph Amson at Pac-12 Apostles tweet, and it was a really, I literally said it to my dad as we were in this game, as we were watching the game. If Caleb Williams isn't the quarterback in this game, ASU could have won. I mean, there were so many stupid, crazy, and like, and I mean this, I say stupid in a great way. Like, it was a pleasure and a delight to watch that guy play football because he just got them out of so many jams. There were so many times where he should have been sacked or he should have just thrown the ball away, and he hit his wide receiver. He scrambled for yards. And I remember, I was like talking to my dad going like, if he's not the quarterback, and then Ralph tweeted, I'm like, thank God, you know, it's like one of those moments, like, thank God somebody else is thinking what I'm thinking, because ASU really played well in this game. But I also think it also highlights the badness of USC's defense.
Yes.
But right. Like, ASU had a good game against USC. Like, are they going to be able to put two together and then go, you know, come back home and play Washington? I don't know. What did you think about their performance against USC and how it kind of fits into their upcoming game against the Dogs?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, like, I was surprised that they were able to throw the ball with some verve from what we have seen from Emory Jones so far, right? Like, I mean, again, it's against USC, and they are terrible defense. But, you know, the fact that they were able to do it, I thought was a good sign for them. You know, and, like, they had life. I mean, really, like, you go into halftime, game was tight, you know, heading into the half. I have to admit, I was a little surprised that they ran the ball so poorly. I guess the big surprise for me this year for ASU is their offensive line seems a little worse than I was expecting.
Yeah.
For sure. Now look, they're at a point offensively, they're at 108. Defensively, they're at 109 in beta rank. I mean, there's not a lot to hang your hat on. And they're gonna get a Washington, but this Washington team is like the mirror image practically of USC. Except their offense is a little worse. USC's offense is at number 4. Washington's is at number 13. And then USC runs the ball a bit more. Washington is almost all throw. I mean, they're number 5 in effective pass, number 95 in effective rush. But you flip it around and you're going to get, like, you still have a really, I mean, this Washington defense is bad. I just want, like, like, if you're going to talk me into, I mean, what do I have it as? Washington by 19? Yeah, I'm going to take those because I think they're pissed too after getting worse.
Yeah. So when I first wrote out like my line for this game, I basically said I would take Washington anywhere up to 14. And even then I would think about it. The line opened at 11. I'm so pissed, right? Because like, it's so hard for me to get that early line. And then it got to 12.5, and I'm like, so I got him at 13, and I still stick to the principle, right? Like, if it's 14, I'm going to do it. And I did, because I don't think Emory Jones is a good quarterback. I just don't. And yes, there's some weaknesses in the secondary, whatever. I think that was their best shot. I think this is the game where they melt down and they kind of fade into the next season. And I do think that they're on, I forget, like Chip Patterson calls it like the hotel early checkout. Like they need a sponsor for the early checkout team. I do think this is that game where ASU gets there. I appreciated what they did against USC. It helped me out with my record, but I don't think they're going to be able to do good. I think Williams just lights the secondary up, or not Williams. Although he did,
Penix, also, yeah.
Yeah, Penix just lights him up, and I think the dogs cruise. I do understand, right, the desert dogs, but it's not that hot right now in ASU, and like it is just a different coaching staff. So I'm with you. I'm taking Washington. What game do you want to tackle next here?
Let me think. We already talked about Oregon State. So we just got to cover Stanford and Oregon.
Okay. This game was dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so again.
This game was truly, truly stupid in every way. Like, just, it was unmemorable. There was nothing fun about it.
But again, it was that look yourself in the mirror, Brian. Like, what are we doing here? Are we actually betting, you know, in favor of Stanford? Here's the thing. I did learn some stuff here. Like, first of all, like, I thought Oregon did what they needed to do. I say this was dumb just because Stanford is dumb right now. This is no, you know, dart thrown at Oregon. The thing I really took to heart in this game, and I did pick Oregon, but it was, yes, Stanford has a good passing offense if the opposing team doesn't get to their quarterback, and that happens all of the time. So I have significantly downgraded the passing offense of Stanford because I just don't think that McKee, I think McKee's great. I think he drops dimes, but he is not clean in that pocket. And when he's not, it doesn't matter how good he is.
I think they got it. Like, I mean, I didn't watch enough of this game to see if they went away from the slow mesh, but like they got to stop that. Because like the thing about slow mesh is like you got to have an offensive line that can give you time, because we've talked about this, like you're back there holding the freaking ball. Yeah. Right, like, and the way you attack it is you collapse the pocket. Like you are incredibly aggressive in your pass rush, and even send in extra guys, because if you can crumple the pocket, like the QB doesn't even have time to get the ball up into a passing position, and like it's not working. I thought it was going to be like we had seen flashes where it sort of worked, but no, this was a really ugly game from Stanford. And I mean, and offensively, Oregon just absolutely rocked a horrible Stanford defense.
Yeah, if you didn't watch this game and you're looking at the score, you're, oh, it's close and they almost covered. Now, Oregon was up like, I think it was 31-3 at halftime and took the foot off the pedal a bit. I mean, they scored 14 points in the second half, but like if you're an Oregon fan, this is what you wanted to see, right? Bo Nix had an excellent game. He was throwing through the air. Mostly on the ground though. Like, I watched this whole game, so it wasn't necessarily like Nix was able to do what he needed to do through the air. It was on the ground where he just really torched Stanford. And then the fact of seeing Bucky Irving and like all these running backs just do what they need to do against a crappy Stanford offense was great. Like, that's what you want to see. And I'm glad that Oregon, you know, has their stuff together. I'm wary, Rob, of their game against Arizona. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, anything else in this game before we talk about the matchup between Stanford and Oregon State?
No. I mean, this game, I think, really shows, I think maybe more than any game we've seen for Stanford so far, like really where they're at, right? Like Oregon's defense has really struggled at times this season. You know, their best game thus far is really that game against BYU, you know, and BYU's got a good offense. Like, it's part of why, like, I think Oregon's defense maybe underrated, and it's just like the fact that Georgia all of a sudden looked mortal the last 2 weeks. That has certainly also hurt Oregon's ranking. Getting stomped by a team that doesn't look like the best team in college football hurts. But I think that, you know, I think you look at this game and your main I don't think I have a ton of takeaways about Oregon's offense. Like, they looked really good. Stanford's defense is terrible, so yeah. It's hard to really gauge where they're at. I do think, you know, like the only takeaway is like, I mean, what is Stanford going to be when we get to the end of the year? Cause like it's, you know, the focus is going to be on Colorado and ASU, but underneath it, Stanford really could, like in any other year, would be the worst team in the Pac-12 by a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And like their matchup against Oregon State is interesting because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. If you watch that Oregon State-Utah game, the way that Nolan landed on his neck, like I cringed, and it was rough. And so we don't know, at least at this point on this podcast, whether or not he's going to be in the game. I wasn't super impressed with the guy they had.
Gulbertson.
Yeah, Gulbertson. I mean, he was like,
I think I just mispronounced it.
Yeah, whatever. You know, he wasn't good enough to pronounce at this point. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get there. But he, like, I was not. I mean, he hit a couple passes that he needed to get. I mean, yes, he was playing against Utah secondary, but I don't think it matters. Like, I'm more interested, Rob, in the defensive line of Oregon State. Can they put some pressure on Stanford in the way that they were able to do it against USC? Like, I don't think Stanford's offensive line is that much better than USC's.
I mean, look, like Oregon State's defense has really improved. Like, I maybe more than anyone did not support the hire that they made, but they're significantly better. Now, there's still a bad Power 5 defense. They sit at 55 in beta rank. But that's a lot better where they've been, which is usually like around the 90s, you know, low 80s at best.
Yeah.
Now where they're struggling, and which is like a bit of a watch out against Stanford, is like not enough negative drives, not enough three and outs, not enough turnovers, that kind of thing. But they've been decent against the pass. And I thought they had a really good game, of course, against USC. But like that, it is like, I mean, the tape on what to do against Stanford is out, right? And so I think Oregon State can do enough, but like clearly, like, I mean, even Vegas thinks like Stanford is absolutely gonna, you know, like struggle in this game. They'll be a little closer than, you know, they were against they would have been against like Oregon or something like that.
Where is Oregon State on rushing this year? Because it's not as good as it was last year.
No, their offense is struggling. They're at 80 overall in beta rank on offense. Like, and they've been able to move the ball. They're at 30 in explosive drives, 48 in play efficiency. They've had too many three and outs, 74 in negative drives. Their real problem is drive efficiency, like completing drives, 115. They're just not doing a good job of finishing and turning things into points. 77 in effective rush, 74 in effective pass. They're just not standing out running the football. And they found themselves in a spot where they have to rely on Nolan more. But they get a Stanford. I mean, Stanford, man, everyone's figured out they can run on Stanford. So Stanford sits at number 84 in beta rank right now on defense. Because everyone has discovered they can run the football against them. Almost no one throws the ball against them. They're at 127 in effective rush. I think Oregon State, who will, I think, even if they have struggled so far this season, they still call a lot of runs. I think they're going to come in and run the ball in this game.
Oh, absolutely. And they'll get their yards. I'm taking the seven. I'm worried about the backup quarterback, but I just... As long as Oregon State gets to the quarterback and puts some pressure on McKee, I think they win the game easily. But I do think that there are two scenarios here: either Oregon State covers or they lose. Like, I don't think there's like a three. You know, it was a slobber knocker and it was a 3-point game or it was a shootout. Like, I just think either this is the dumb game that Stanford wins, or Oregon State just beats the doors off of them, or not beats the door, but just sits on them. It's like 14 or 30, you know, whatever. Like, they get up in the first three quarters and they just don't care anymore. So
I kind of worry about this game. Like, this does feel like a game that Stanford could like sneak in and win.
Yeah.
Beta rank has this closer. I mean, I think Stanford's bad, you know, but it's not all that impressed with Oregon State thus far. So it would have it at 6 on a neutral field. And you could argue that Stanford's home stadium is pretty much a neutral field. But it's only got it at 3, and I'm going to take Stanford because I think McKee's going to have enough time to throw. I don't think Oregon State's defense, like, they're good, but like, I think Stanford's also been like it's like kind of like, you know, like they've been punched in the mouth a few too many. Like, they've like, I mean, it is interesting though, because like we don't think Washington has a good defense. And we don't think Oregon has a good defense. And yet they've really pummeled Stanford and their offense. So it is at some level, like, I guess I just think, like, I still think they've got enough horses on the defensive line to really just make it work and punish Stanford. Yeah. Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to take Stanford. But
I get it. I
think it's because, like, I think I got to go because, like, I'm just not sure Nolan plays, and I don't have as much faith in this Oregon State offense.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and, like, it makes sense. I disagree, but it's very sound reasoning for. This is a weird one. This wasn't one where I'm like, oh, for sure, Oregon State by 7. It was more just, I guess I got to pick, so I'm going to take this one. All right, let's make things a little quicker here in terms of going. So we already talked about Oregon. So let's talk about Arizona's game against Colorado. And again, like, there are these games, Rob, where, like, I'll bet. And I'm just like, why didn't I just bet all of my bets on this game? Because Arizona did whatever it wanted against Colorado. Like, and yes, they gave up 20 points. Arizona's defense is bad. But it did not matter in this game. Like, Delora had 6 freaking touchdowns. Delora almost threw for 500 yards in this game. And they ran for 178. Like, this, every time Arizona basically touched the ball, they scored. And this Colorado team is in free fall. It was important that they made the move. There isn't a whole lot to take from this Arizona game, I guess, other than, like, I mean, we already knew this offense and what it was, and, like, it did exactly what it was supposed to do against Colorado.
Well, here's the thing that, like, here's my 2 takeaways here. 1, it's not so much Arizona's pass defense. I mean, that's not great, but their run defense, like, Colorado was able to run the football on them. Yeah. That's bad, right? 2, Delora looked really good, but God, he had some throws that were kind of high over the middle in this game where you're just like, he's living on the edge, man. Like, he's good for another couple 3-pick games this season, like he had against Cal.
I think that happens in the, like, so I looked at this line against Oregon real close. And I wanted to take Arizona. It's hot. Oregon has lost a number of big games at Arizona.
13 feels like a lot for Oregon because, like, Oregon's pass defense stinks.
I just think the matchup here of,
like, Oregon's 19 in effective rush, Arizona's 119 in effective rush on defense. Like, Oregon's going to get all they want running the football. But, like, you flip it around, Arizona's at 11 in effective pass. Oregon's at 114.
Oh my gosh.
Oregon profoundly sucks defending the pass so far this season. And they've been better against the run, but, like, I think Arizona last year was able to throw on the secondary. I think they're going to be able to throw on these guys. I don't think Arizona's going to try to run the ball a lot. I think they're going to throw the ball because I think Oregon's going to march up and down the field running the football.
Yeah.
And I think Delora's good for a pick or two.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a purely spot pick, right? Like, if this was 2 teams and you strip out the names and you just look at the advanced stats, I'm taking the Oregon, like, almost every time.
But it's the same thing as last season. Like, McLeod threw 5 picks. It's the only thing that got Oregon out of that game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, terrible Arizona last year was moving the ball on this Ducks defense. This Ducks defense is really bad still.
Yeah, and I apologize. I meant to say, like, I would take Arizona every time. Like, this is a dog at home. But I don't think Arizona's ready for this type of game. They're just not, like, this is a team that continues to improve, that can move the football. But their defense is so bad. And Oregon's going to be able to move the ball on the ground. And it puts so much pressure on Delora and this offense to win a big game at a sold out crowd at home. I don't think they have it, Rob. I think next year is the year where they can jump up and smack a team like Oregon at home, not on the road, not at a neutral state like stadium, but at home. I want to see it. I want to see it. I feel like this is one of those games where they get too hyped up and Delora throws like 2 picks. And that's the difference between 13 points and 3 points.
Yeah. I mean, like the real, but I mean, we talked about a little bit, like, the other game to watch that would help us really grade out Arizona is this Cal-Washington State game, right? and Cal's offense came crashing all the way back to earth against Washington State, right? They looked like, you know, human. Now, look, like, Cal's defense isn't bad, and Arizona absolutely put up a bunch of yards, and you know, like, Delora had some picks in that game. But it's going to be, I mean, like, this the way Oregon ran the ball against Stanford is, like, if you're Oregon, you're going to be crazy to throw the football too much in this game. You're not going to have to. And that's, like, that's where, like, I think that Arizona, like, Arizona's run defense might put them in a spot where, like, if you look at their next couple of games, their offense is good enough that if they finished in the positive on turnovers, they could win.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if they had a plus three turnover game, they could knock somebody off. But it's hard. Like, it's harder to get fumbles than it is interceptions. Like, fumbles are a little more like luck than interceptions are. And I don't think anybody's going to feel like they really have to throw against Arizona. And that's a problem. Right. So, like, yeah, I 13 feels like a lot. To rely on this Oregon defense. Like, I think this is closer to 10. And I am going to take Arizona. And that's hard. Like, that is hard. Oh God, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm taking Oregon. Like, I think Arizona, like, I think Oregon is just going to, like, just destroy Arizona's run defense. And then Delora throws two or three picks. That'll be it. So God, it's like, I mean, because, like, you look at the metrics, like, where we're at right now, and, like, I mean, there's an absolute path for, like, Arizona to absolutely just torch this Oregon defense.
Yeah.
But the problem is like, Jaden Delora is your quarterback. And look, he's a vast improvement over what they were doing last year. But the dude is going to throw picks this season. That's just what you get with them. And like that Colorado game, like, there are a couple of, like, oh my God, that's such an acrobatic catch by the wide receiver. And you're just like, dude, that is over the middle and that is high. And you are going to get your receiver killed, or you're going to throw a pick if you throw it too high.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and I'm looking at the picks, right? Most of these are, like, normie picks where it's like, I'm taking the favorite, but I just, there's a world where Arizona wins this game and it gets loud and Bo Nix throws a pick, right? Like, that's what he does in big games. But I don't know if this is that big of a game. I think, like, what you mentioned, Oregon's going to run the ball and Arizona's going to let them. And I think that's going to be the story of this game. And then it really forces Arizona to make more plays, and that's where Delora, I think, is a problem. Okay, so we're both taking Oregon.
Yeah, we're both gonna take Oregon.
Good lord, we're taking free, and I don't like it. I don't like, it's the same thing. I do not like taking Oregon, but I'm going to.
Here's the thing: like, when Arizona plays Washington, like, that would be a game where, like, you can talk yourself, like, that's probably, like, and I'm not, like, trying to set up Husky fans here, because, like, I think Washington, like, absolutely, like, 70-80% of the time wallops Arizona. It's that, like, they're going to throw the football and you might get interceptions when you throw the football. And that's where Arizona's, like, upsets are probably going to have to come from.
Yeah. All right. One more game here. And it's a good one. Like, I'm really excited about Washington State USC, and both of these teams. Yeah. We talked about USC's play against ASU. Anything else you want to mention on that front?
No, there's nothing else to take away from that.
Caleb Williams, I just want to give him a hug, man. That guy is so freaking good at quarterback. On the other side here, now, you watched this game. I wasn't able to watch this one. Washington State beats Cal 28-9. And so we try to split up the afternoon slate. So tell me a little bit about this game. It looks like Cam Ward is still he's throwing so many. That's the thing that worries me, are the picks that he throws. But looks like he's throwing the ball down the field. The defense for Washington State, I think, is quite good. And yes. And they made Cal look like Cal. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, look, like, Washington State's defense right now sits at number 29 overall. And we saw them live and in person, and, like, they can give up some big plays. What they're good at is drive efficiency. Like, they find ways to get off the field. what worries me a little bit in this game is like they are a lot better against the run than they are against the pass. They're at 17 in effective rush. They're at 54 in effective pass on defense. And they're getting USC, who of course doesn't have any playmakers. I mean, like, who of course is like loaded with playmakers, right? USC is number 4 overall on offense. They're number 3 in explosive drives. Number 7 in effective pass, 16 in effective rush. Like, this is where like Washington State's defense actually kind of lined up better against that Oregon offense, right? Because like, you know, they were good enough to on, you know, defending the run to like force Bo Nix to throw the ball a bit. But like, you know, we're going to flip this around and like Washington State's offense, like took a step forward against a decent Cal defense, right? Yeah. Like Cal's defense isn't like world beating good. But they're pretty good. I mean, like they're gonna in a year that I don't know that we're gonna have any really good defenses in the Pac-12 unless Utah really steps up. You know, I do think Cal's defense, which currently sits at number 46 overall, is gonna grade out as one of the better ones in the conference. You know, and like they're actually pretty good against the pass, and they're not great against the run right now. And Washington State still came in and threw the ball against them. And the thing was, and like we've talked about this, is like Ward has been really, and we saw it still in the Oregon game, like dink and dunk, like to the outside, often hitting stuff in the flats, not often getting to his, you know, past his first read, you know, never getting to the check down. And in this game against Cal, like he took a bit of a step forward. He was able to like, and was, you know, was finding, you know, finding his second option, you know, getting the ball and not afraid to throw the ball into the middle of the field where they, you know, teams had figured out what Washington State was doing is there were some open guys in the middle of the field. Now this is good. Like this guy has all the potential to be like, I mean, this USC offense could have a big day, you know, here. Like there's like, this Washington State defense is pretty good. It'll be one of the better. It's one of the better defenses in the Pac-12. It'll be one of the better defenses that USC has faced to this point. But you know, like that 54 in effective pass number can scare you a little bit, right? Like, and look, I mean, like Oregon State, which has a decent defense but not great, had a really good game against USC. Like, it's possible. But yeah, I mean, like this should be a good game. Like I'm excited. BetaRank has this one at USC by 8. You know, eight and a third. And I'm going to take USC in this game because I think that this matchup is good for them. And their pass defense is better than their run defense, and I don't think Washington State's going to run the ball very well. Like where you can really get USC is they're at 98 in effective rush, which is where if that continues, that Utah game will be something to see.
And UCLA, like I think UCLA is just going to beat. I mean, USC might lose 2 games in the last quarter of the season. Rob, you almost thought like you. I want to take Washington State so bad.
Because well, like it does feel like I mean like look like I Ward. Could if he gets comfortable, he knows this offense. If he gets comfortable with the speed of the FBS level, right? Like, I think they could score points against this USC defense because they're bad. Like, they still give up a ton of big plays. They're like they're at 105 in explosive drives, 84 in drive efficiency. The only thing that they can really hang their hat on that's like keeping their number up is negative drives, and it's their turnovers, right? Like all of those turnovers, which we don't think is sustainable.
And he's going to give him one at least. Like he just does. So it's like, ah, like it's
I agree with
like
that.
It's almost like I'm willing Washington State across the finish line, but like, that's not the way these games are won. But
well, I think Washington State's going to get one against William. Like, I think they can scheme themselves to a turnover.
Yeah, I'll take them. Gosh darn it. I want to take USC, but I want like I emotionally want to take Washington State, but my mind tells me to take USC, but I just don't trust them. Like I don't. And all right, I'll take the points. I'll take Washington State. I don't know if this is a spot to do it, but I'll just do it anyway. And you're taking USC, right?
man. What's the line?
13.
We're going against 13.
It was, it kept getting to 13 and a half. And I like,
and then
I was
the just, sharps and keep the like sharps coming kept, back. Yeah, the sharps like, hey, I'm dang it. 13. Oh, I think it is more like 10. I'm taking Wazoo. I've talked myself. You've talked me into it too. Like,
we'll see. This is the bummer because this might be the one game where fading Wazoo makes sense, right? Because of the matchup, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't quite believe in this USC team. I think Wazoo is a strong enough team to really hit him in the mouth, and we'll see what happens. But Washington State, heck of a year already, and more to come there. Anything else, Rob, before we pack it in here?
Did we cover? Was there a game we didn't cover last week? I think we got them all, which is astounding. And there's only five this week, which is great.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you all posted on our picks. I'm excited about this week. It's a lot of really good games. 12-Pack Radio, 12PAC Radio on Twitter, and sharpcollegefootball.com for all of your FBS and FCS needs. Now, Rob, you got anything else to plug?
No, I haven't got to the Saturday Six yet because it's been like a crazy week at work, so I'm going to like do that tomorrow.
Okay. Keep a lookout. That's good stuff. Like, Rob's been bringing this up, and Beta Rank's really coming, like, and we've talked about, right? If you're listening to the show, it's always so funny because people will say, like, yeah, the show's good, but I don't know about those numbers right now. And I said, we've literally for 2 years, or for how, like 4 years now, he said, projection for the first 6 months or first six weeks.
Yeah.
And then things really start to kick in because the model kind of gets that sample size that it needs. And we're there now. So Check out the Saturday Six if you want some really good breakdowns. It's on YouTube. And
I would also say, and I'm going to like plant a little bit of a flag here is like, if you like, when you look at numbers, like if Beta Rank is rating an offense or a defense, I'm 100% confident like Beta Rank is doing that better than anyone else is because I'm not using any out of game data to do it. So like if Beta Rank says your offense is here and like some other system says they're somewhere else, like I have no problem saying Beta Rank's got it right.
Because some of the other ones, like pulling spreads from Vegas and stuff, right? That's kind of the...
Right. They're relying on, like, a bunch of... Like, they're not... Yes, like, they're the overall accuracy numbers that they're reporting to you are juiced by a bunch of out-of-game data, which means that the numbers that they're giving you on offense or defense are not as accurate. Not accurate enough for them to be able to predict spreads. BetaRank does, and BetaRank cleaned S&P's clock over the last 10 weeks of the season last year. Like, it is all on in-game data, and that's all it relies on. So, like, if anybody's like, I don't believe it, and I realize, like, some of these are far better known systems, that's fine. I know exactly what people like. I've been around doing this. I talk to people in analytics. I know what people are doing in their models, right? Like, I'm fully confident. Like, if BetaRank's like your offense is here, like that's where it's at.
Mm. Very excited. Looking at you, Colorado, on all your metrics.
Yeah, very bad. We're gonna do a little Colorado watch. Like every Sunday, we're gonna like call out like how close Colorado is to like 2021 Duke.
Right on. Well, everybody tune in. We will continue updating these things and we're excited to look at week 7 next week, and we'll catch you then.